Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Would you be able to live with being awkward if you were a billionaire? My guess is yes, but why is it that we don't have one normal billionaire out there, period? It's Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio, and on the ESPN app. They are never like us, Canty. They are never like us.
No, and we thought we saw the best of it or the worst of it, depends on how you look at it, on Monday Night Football with the Joe Buck, Josh Harris interview, you know, where he goes to shake his hand awkwardly when it's clear that Buck is just talking with his hands. But no, Woody Johnson found a way to one-up Josh Harris last night on Hard Knocks.
So if you missed it on Hard Knocks last night, Woody Johnson comes out in front of the team and he unzips his sweat jacket to show that he has got a diamond encrusted massive necklace that says Woody on it.
And of course, the significance of that being Sauce Gardner got Aaron Rodgers the same said diamond encrusted chain necklace with pendant when he was officially traded to Gangrene. So I guess Woody Johnson was trying to get in on all of the hype and try to seem like he was cool in front of his team, where in actuality, none of the players sitting there want to hear from the owner. No, nobody wants. That's the thing. Like, nobody needs to hear from the owner until the owner is about to write them a big check. That's it. Otherwise, Woody Johnson, fade to black. We just need you in the background. But no, Woody Johnson had to get in on Hard Knocks too.
Greetings, fellow kids. That's what it felt like. Like, he had absolutely just, I'm hip. I'm cool.
I'm one of you guys. I'm just like you guys. I can relate.
What's more alarming, the fact that he did it or the fact that, you know, like, Chris, I have no way of knowing this. What do you think that kind of a necklace runs?
I have no idea.
All right, let's just say that runs $100,000.
Okay,
for the
cool.
heck of it, okay?
All right.
We'll say that's a $100,000 necklace. Woody bought that necklace for a 10-second moment.
Yeah.
He bought it for that moment. I don't think we're going to see Woody walking around the sideline all year and walking around the owner's box wearing the Woody necklace, is he not?
No, but it's clear that he did it to be cool, to try to be cool in the eyes of his players. And you know what? You don't have to do all of that. You know how you look cool in front of your players?
Pay them.
By writing the checks, by paying them, by making sure that direct deposit clears every Tuesday. That's how you look cool. Otherwise, the players don't care about the owner. Just get out of our way. Listen, I can't get that 5 minutes in my life back that Woody Johnson had to address the team. Like, I don't understand it. I don't get it. But it was clear that Woody Johnson wanted his FaceTime on Hard Knocks, too.
There really, truly is just not one owner other than maybe Mark Cuban who is somewhat normal.
He's the only one. I'm convinced that he's the only one. The rest of them are all socially awkward, and last night was case in point with Woody.
It's Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio, but it wasn't the only interesting thing to come out of Hard Knocks last night. The other interesting thing came out very early in the show, and it was after what you would call, at least for the receivers at the time, a particularly uninspiring practice. Here is Randall Cobb addressing the receivers on Hard Knocks after that practice that many felt was subpar.
I was just talking to 12 or 8, and he was just telling me, you know, we had a lot of mistakes in our room today, just basic stuff, little things, right? Like, we can't have that. And it's all cool right now, but I'm telling you, one day he's going to lose his shit. It's going to happen if it continues to go the way it's going right now. Because if he don't trust you, he's not going to throw you the ball. I can promise you that. If he don't trust you, he don't not like throwing interceptions. So if he can't trust that you're going to run the right route, he's not going to throw it. It's just a matter of time.
So that was Hard Knocks on HBO last night. Now, here's what I find really interesting about that. Rodgers yesterday, Chris, having seen the episode before it aired, preemptively said, yeah, Randall Cobb said something about, you know, me snapping if things are not going right. I'm not really a snap kind of a guy anymore. Let me tell you something. I get the idea of why Randall Cobb is here. He's in that room to say that very thing, yes, to deliver that very message, to be the bad guy for Aaron Rodgers here. I don't trust that if things go sour for the Jets, that Aaron Rodgers is going to be somebody that is going to be front and center trying to fix it.
Well, he might be trying to fix it, but his way of fixing things is pointing out who's not doing their job.
Exactly.
It's what he did in Green Bay with Mike McCarthy and some of his teammates, and it's what I would anticipate if things go left in New York. Right now, we're getting the best version of Aaron Rodgers that any of us ever remember seeing, but that's because they're not playing games that matter. What happens if the Jets hit a rough spot during the season, as inevitably every single team does? What version of Aaron Rodgers are we going to get then? Are we going to get the same guy that's going out of his way to ingratiate himself with his teammates and the city of New York? Or are we going to see the guy that we saw the last couple of years in Green Bay? Now, we can both acknowledge that there really isn't anybody at One Jets Drive that knows Aaron Rodgers better than Randall Cobb does, right?
Correct.
So for Randall Cobb to say that Rodgers is going to lose it if things go left, if we don't clean up our act, why should we not take his word at face value? He knows him better than any of us do. So if Randall Cobb is saying, hey, you right now you got the good Aaron Rodgers, but if it goes bad, you're going to get the bad Aaron Rodgers. Why would we think that we're not going to see that version of Rodgers when they hit the first sign of adversity, when they hit a rough patch?
Yeah,
and
my guess
that's
is.
And that's the problem that I have with all of the hype around the Jets. This is all new learning for their core, like for a lot of their core players, because those guys are young. Most of those dudes ain't been in the playoffs. Quinnen Williams and Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner don't know what the playoffs are. They have no idea. And that's three of their five best players on that team. So again, like, those are the things that I get concerned with when they hit a rough patch. Can Aaron Rodgers, from an intangible standpoint, impart the wisdom that's necessary to move that team past that and get them on track?
Chris, I think that was the first moment of Hard Knocks that Rodgers or the Jets probably didn't love that was in the show. Because if Aaron is going to come out and preemptively say that before it airs, it's damage control to a degree. Now, not that it was anything outlandish. I didn't think it was outlandish at all. And it's probably something that it is something that he wanted the receivers to hear, but I can't get out of the way of this thought. If things go sour for the Jets this season, Aaron Rodgers is going to be the reason why. I mean, let's take injuries out of the mix for a second, all right? Because that can happen to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
If things go south, it's because Aaron Rodgers is not playing at the level that he has played at throughout his career, and he looks more like the guy that we saw in the second half of last season. And that just means to me that we are so far down the road. While the Jets did the right thing in improving and trying to go get him, you also have to acknowledge that this is risky to a degree when you are going after a quarterback of that age coming off that kind of a season.
Yeah, but I think context matters. If they fall short of the goal and the offensive line is why Aaron Rodgers can't have a banner year, then I don't think there are going to be as many people lining up to blame Rodgers as they would to blame Rob Saleh and or Joe Douglas. But Aaron Rodgers has done all of the right things, said all the right things, even going as far as to decide he's going to play in the preseason game this weekend. Big fella, Aaron Rodgers last played in a preseason game in 2018, August 16th, 2018. That was the last preseason game he's played in his pro career, and that was against the Steelers. For context in that regard, Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall were all high school seniors when that happened. Patrick Mahomes only had one career NFL start. Tom Brady had yet to win two of the seven Super Bowls he's got on his resume. The number one movie was Black Panther. The number one song on the billboards was Drake, In My Feelings. That was four albums ago. So it's clear to me that it matters for Aaron Rodgers. He's well aware of what the perception of him is, and he's going out of his way to do everything he possibly can to position this team to accomplish their ultimate goal. Now, I'm not saying they're going to go out there and win the Super Bowl, but when I'm looking at all of the AFC East teams, I have the fewest questions when it comes to what's going on the field with the New York Jets.
I don't know that I would say that. The biggest question I have in Miami is obviously Tua, but that's kind of the only question
that's
I really truly have.
It's a pretty big question, though, isn't it?
You don't know if the quarterback is going to be there.
It's
a big question about health, but I don't think it's outlandish to have the question about Rodgers and where he is in his career. The same thing, and then
the Jet offensive line is a concern. It's
a
different pattern. Like with Aaron Rodgers, at least we can point to him playing in every regular season game. Tua hasn't played in every regular season game in one season yet.
Mm-hmm.
Not one. He missed parts of 6 games last year. Like that's a third of the season. So I think it's a little bit different. Like with the Buffalo Bills, the whole Josh Allen of it all and losing their both coordinated. Like that, to me, it's Steph Diggs' relationship with Josh Allen is also awkward. Like when you start talking about on the field, the Jets have the fewest questions. The biggest question the Jets have on the field is the offensive line. Every other question you got about the New York Jets is the intangibles. Like can this team figure out how to win when it matters? Like all of that type of stuff. So Aaron Rodgers has done everything he possibly can to put them in position to win. They just got to go out there and do it and understand they're going to be under the microscope throughout the process.
And he has to play at a high level. He has to play at a very high level for them to win. And it's, I know how good their defense is, and I know we talk about just being at an acceptable level compared to what they got before. They didn't get him for that. They got him to go win the whole thing. And this year, make the playoffs. Next year, have a legit chance. I think that's all fair. But if it goes sideways this year, I don't know that people will line up to blame him, but I think that more likely than not, if we end up looking at it objectively, it's going to be because he wasn't playing at the level he needed to.
What's the message that Rodgers is sending by playing in the preseason?
That he's all in. He's continued to say that and continued to show it with his actions. I can't knock that.
But if you have your quarterback sending a message that I believe in this team so much that I'm willing to put it on the line in the preseason, isn't that something that permeates throughout the locker room?
I guess. I mean, all right.
It's the right message. I'm just simply saying it's the right message.
Canty and Carlin in for Greeny, ESPN Radio. Up next, just how devastating would it be for the Chiefs to not have Chris Jones to start the season? We will get into that with Booger McFarland, who joins us next on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
Not any more good news on the Chris Jones front with the Chiefs. We're telling you about Jones's tweet yesterday where he suggested that maybe 8 weeks before he shows up, Adam Teicher, who covers the Chiefs for ESPN NFL Nation, tweeted this just in the last few minutes. Andy Reid says, no communication with Chris Jones, didn't know whether he would report in time to begin the season. It's Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. For more on that, we welcome in Booger McFarlane, ESPN football analyst who joins us right now. Booger, it's Carlin, it's Canty. Let's just start right there. How big of a mistake is it right now for the Chiefs to let this play out when it comes to a player of Chris Jones' caliber?
Well, I don't know if it's a big mistake to let it play out. I think it's a big mistake if they get to game, you know, games 3, 4, 5, and he's not there. Let's not forget, Emmitt Smith held out, missed the first two games. The Cowboys, I think, lost. They signed him, and they went on to win the Super Bowl. So there is precedent when it comes to a player of this magnitude holding out. Chris Jones is vital. They cannot win a Super Bowl without Chris Jones. This defense is not the same. Chris Jones is my pick for a defensive player of the year this year. And he is right on the cusp, not yet, but he's on the cusp of supplanting Aaron Donald as the best defensive tackle in football. He hasn't done it yet, but he's right there on the cusp. That's how valuable he is.
Booger, another guy that's looking to get paid is Colts running back Jonathan Taylor. He's given a permission to seek a trade as of Monday. What's the best fit for Jonathan Taylor in 2023?
Right back in Indianapolis. I mean, that's the best fit for him. I know we like to fantasize, well, let's put him in Dallas. Let's put him in Miami. Truth be told, the best fit is right there where he's homegrown in Indy. The offensive line was built for Jonathan Taylor. He's got a rookie quarterback, so he's going to be vital in the development and maturation of Anthony Richardson. So the best place for him is to stay right there in Indy. I know that's where he wants to be. Right now, there's a lot of hard feelings. But again, we've seen this play out. Remember Lamar Jackson? I want to be traded. I no longer feel welcome here in Baltimore. He gets a new contract, and that's all washed under the bridge. So let's not be prisoners of the moment and act like this can't be solved with a new deal or some sweetening of the money. So best place for him is to stay right there in Indy.
I want to stay there for a second in Indy for a second, Booger. It's Booger McFarlane with us on ESPN Radio. The decision to start Anthony Richardson, and when you look at the other two rookie quarterbacks, is it all kind of a same footing thing at this point in the league where you get your guy out there, especially if he hasn't played enough to get the reps, or is this one of those cases where they are kind of rolling the dice, starting with somebody who struggled with his accuracy at times last year?
Well, I've seen it both ways. Like, if you say, let's do the Aaron Rodgers route, let him set a few years, and we saw what Aaron did when he finally got on the field. We saw what Patrick Mahomes did when he set, 16 games or 15 games, whatever it was. But times are changing a little bit. Why? Because you want your quarterback playing as soon as he can on that rookie deal. That allows you so much more flexibility on your team. And also, I don't think anybody ever developed anything in their life by sitting down not doing that certain thing. So you got to get out there and play football. The key will be this. Everybody says put him out there, develop a Jalen Hurts-type package, let him use his legs. Well, here's the problem with that. Every time he's running, you know what he's not doing, guys? He's not reading coverage throwing the football. So I'm fine with him playing as long as they continue to develop him as a quarterback. See, the problem last year with Justin Fields is he made a lot of sports center plays. He was like fifth or sixth in the league in rushing. But ask yourself this, and this is rhetorical. Did he truly develop as a quarterback? Have we seen the development? Because I don't care how fast you run. At some point, you got to put that back foot in the ground and throw the football. And I think we're still waiting to see that from Justin Fields. And I think the coach would do Anthony Richardson a disservice if we don't see some of that development this year.
Talking to two-time Super Bowl champ Booger McFarlane on Greeny and Boog, a conversation we've been having all morning is the Dallas Cowboys. And in the Dak Prescott era of Cowboy football, you can make the argument that this is the best team that's been around the quarterback. My question to you is, who's under more pressure to deliver a deep playoff run in Dallas? Is it the quarterback? Is it the head coach?
It's always the quarterback, right? I mean, the quarterback is the guy that steps on the field. He's the guy that controls the game. And, I mean, let's not forget, Mike McCarthy has won a Super Bowl. Like, I know we like to poo-poo on Mike McCarthy, But he's been there and done that, right? So now, if you're Dak Prescott, can you do it? And I get it. It's the Cowboys and the pressure and all that good stuff. But Mike has been to the mountaintop. And so Dak has to prove that come clutch time, whether that's late in the regular season when they're buying for home field or in the playoffs when they're trying to win a playoff game, that he can be the reason they win and not be the reason they lose. Let's not forget the San Francisco game the last couple years.
Oof.
Two picks in one game. You go back to the game in Dallas, the inexcusable end of game situation that was a blunder by him and the coach or whoever. There are a lot of questions that got to be answered in Dallas, and I think all of them lead back to the quarterback. And, oh, by the way, he's up for a new contract because the cap number is so high next year. So he's playing for a new contract. So there's a lot of pressure on Dak Prescott.
Booger McFarland with us, ESPN football analyst. All right, how about the Jets and the AFC East? Chris and I were discussing this morning. As you look at the AFC East, which team, in your mind, has the least amount of questions heading into the season?
Oh, there's no doubt it's Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo's because they're basically returning the same cast of characters. I know there's some question marks about the relationship with Diggs and all that good stuff, but I think once told me feather, they'll be fine. We got question marks in New York with the offensive line, and can Aaron Rodgers get some cohesiveness with his wide receivers? Miami, can Tua stay healthy? What is the Vic Fangio defense going to be like? If you look at New England, Bill O'Brien, is he going to get Mac Jones to where he was his rookie year and maybe even beyond? So there's no doubt that the team with the least amount of questions is Buffalo. And isn't it amazing? Last year, Buffalo was the sexy pick. Buffalo. This year, the sexy pick is New England, Cincinnati, and the Jets. All of a sudden, in a year, Buffalo went from a sexy pick to kind of an also-ran. Buffalo's still a good team, guy. Like, Josh Allen, if he's not the best quarterback in football behind Patrick Mahomes, like, he's right there at number three behind Joe Burrow. So, Buffalo, I know Leslie Frazier's taking a year off. Let's not forget Sean McDermott is going to call the defensive plays. That's where he cut his teeth under Jim Johnson. So I think the defense is going to be better because it's going to be more aggressive. And in the end, I think Buffalo is going to be right there. Buffalo, Kansas City, Cincinnati. And if the Jets can get their stuff together, if Miami can get their stuff together. Oh, by the way, Denver, we know what Sean Payton and his pedigree is. Can he fix Russell? It's going to be an exciting year in the AFC.
Yeah, and Booger, I mean, you led me right where I wanted to go. One of the most polarizing players going into 2023 is Russell Wilson. Now, a lot of people are dismissing 2022 as an outlier and putting it on Nathaniel Hackett, but what are your expectations with the Russell Wilson-Sean Payton marriage? Can Sean Payton actually get Russ back on track? And what does that mean for Denver in 2023?
I'm not going to give Russell a pass because Russell's on the field. And it's the same example that I use for – you know, the quarterback, like the quarterback is the guy that's going to be on the field. Like Dak Prescott was the one on the field. Russell's going to be on the field. Sean Payton's been there and done that. Like Sean knows what he's doing. And if you really want to be honest, Chris, go back to Russell's last year in Seattle. Wasn't great. Mm. Now he had some big deep balls and all that, but it wasn't great. And so for the last 2 years, Russell Wilson really hasn't been the Hall of Fame quarterback that we know he is. Now, can he fit in this timing rhythm offense? Sean Payton is known for when that ball hit Drew Brees' hand, Drew knew where he was going, and the ball came out quick. That's really not Russell's game, is it? Like we know Russ. Everybody talk about let Russ cook. Russ cooking means Russ is kind of creating, right? Sean Payton has never really had a creative. Jameis Winston got the ball out of his hands. Teddy Bridgewater got the ball out of his hands. Taysom Hill a little bit, but, I mean, if you really want to count that, Drew Brees, the ball came out of his hand. Can Russell let the ball go? Like, that'll be the key. And if he can't, then don't be surprised at some point in the season, because he's not married to Russ, if there might not be a quarterback change in Denver if it goes as bad as it did last year.
Booger, great stuff. Stay handsome, man. We appreciate it.
Will do. Congrats to you both on the new radio shows, by the way. I meant to tell you that the last time I talked to you. Well deserved by both parties, man.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Booger McFarland, ESPN football analyst. He's the best. It's Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio. I never thought I'd be uttering this phrase. Are you ready for Firefest 2? Oh, boy.
Greeny, the podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I am a little bit surprised that the league stepped forward and fined James Harden for his comments when he called Daryl Morey a liar and said he would never play for a team that Daryl Morey was involved with last week. It's Canty and Carlin in for Granny, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. In case you missed it, the NBA fined him $100,000 for, quote, indicating that he would not perform the services called for under his player contract unless traded to another team. In other words, they fined him for publicly demanding the trade, and the Players Association disagreed with what the league did in that instance. Listen, with Harden, this is going to continue to get uglier and uglier and uglier, and I don't see where the simple out is here, Canty, of the team that will trade for him. Are they going to end up having to buy him out here? How is this going to plan out?
Well, they can't buy him out because that would leave them as a lesser team around Joel Embiid. So that means that they're not going to be able to compete at the same level that they did last year.
And this is how bad I think it's going to get.
Well, I mean, they can say that, but I mean, here's the issue that I have. With James Harden, if the goal is to get paid and to try to compete at a championship level, it feels like Philadelphia is the best of your options. I mean, if you're going scorched earth in Philly, you're cutting your nose off to spite your face because nobody's going to see that and want to bring that into their locker room, especially if you're a team that thinks you can win a world title. So I don't understand what the end goal of it is for James Harden. This is a scenario where it's mutually assured destruction. I mean, if you're going to burn the house down in Philly, then essentially what you're doing is you're burning up any kind of credibility that you might have as a player and as a teammate, and that's not going to allow you to get the kind of contract you're looking for in terms of dollars and or years. So again, what's the end goal if you're James Harden? I don't know what that is.
Well, the end goal, if you're Harden, is getting the most money you can, and you're right.
Well, how does this help you do that?
It doesn't. That's the point.
That's my point.
And you're right. You even said it's his best option. To me, it's his only option. You're not going to win this.
If there was a better option, he would not have opted into his player option of $35.6 million.
Right.
If there was a better opportunity for him to make more money and or compete at a higher level, he would not have opted in. The fact that he opted in tells us that the rest of the marketplace wasn't what he was expecting it would be. So if you're James Harden, what does it serve you to say Daryl Morey is a liar and I will never be a part of an organization that he's a part of? What does that do other than get the NBA to slap a $100,000 fine on you?
All it did was really just show that you have no idea what you're doing here when it comes to your playbook, because while this instance has worked in the past of trying to go scorched earth to get what you want, at least acknowledge that you're not the same player and that nobody's going to be knocking on the door. And they already weren't. That should have been the biggest clue. You're right. That should have been the biggest clue. So if they're not just going to pay you to pay you to bring you in, what makes you think they're going to trade for you now? I don't know what he was thinking. I don't know if he just assumes that he could keep running the same play out of his playbook and get the same result. Not this time. Not when you're nowhere near what you used to be. Although I do have to say, I do give him credit for his joke of an Instagram post last week, which showed a closet that just had a fat suit in it.
I love that. Love that.
That was amazing.
Love that.
At least you can have a little bit of fun with the situation. It's Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio. How, Chris, maybe I'm naive, but there are just times I say to myself, you can't be that stupid, right? Mm. Like, people cannot be that stupid to do something. There is a Fyre Festival 2 being planned by Billy McFarland, who is the guy who served time in federal prison for his crimes related to the 2017 Fyre Festival disaster. So he said it on his Instagram page yesterday. Here is Billy McFarland, noted fraudster.
This is a big day because as of right now, Fyre Festival 2 tickets are officially on sale. It has been the absolute wildest journey to get here, and it really all started during the 7th month stint in solitary confinement. I wrote out this 50-page plan of how it would take this overall interest and demand in Fyre and how it would take my ability to bring people from around the world together to make the impossible happen, but how I would find the best partners in the world to allow me to be me while executing Fyre's vision to the highest level. In my first year, I partnered with one of the biggest and best TV companies in the world to produce a documentary called After the Fyre. I've also worked with one of the biggest production companies to sign a deal to produce Fyre Festival, the Broadway musical. And finally, today we are announcing Fyre Festival 2. We spoke to people as far away as the Middle East and South America, and ultimately we decided that Fyre Festival 2 is coming back to the Caribbean. We are targeting Fyre Festival 2 for the end of next year, and in the meantime, we'll be doing pop-ups and events across the world. Guys, this is your chance to get in. This is everything I've been working towards. Let's go.
Oh, my God. And Canty, tickets are not only on sale now, they are selling out.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I saw something where they're selling tickets as much as $8,000.
But he said, listen, don't worry. We're putting all the money in escrow.
Oh, my God.
Now, remember, these are people who showed up.
Here's the problem. The problem was the idea for Fyre Festival 2 was conceived while he was in jail for Fyre Festival 1.
In solitary confinement, apparently.
It's absolutely ridiculous. You know the first thing that comes to mind? The George Bush quote? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, can't get fooled again.
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. It fooled me. We can't get fooled again.
That one.
That's the best that quote ever.
Yet another awkward billionaire moment. But yes, that one. That's the point. It's absolutely ridiculous. How could you get sucked into this again? How is it even possible?
I mean,
suckers, the whole lot of them.
Like, if you read between the lines of what he was saying, yes, in solitary confinement, I came up with a 50-page plan to screw you over again and get you to buy into me as a criminal. Oh, my God.
I mean, listen, if you're going to spend $8,000 for Fyre Festival 2, I mean, I got beachfront property in Idaho I'm willing to sell you.
Let me ask you this question. You rather spend $8,000 on Fyre Festival 2 or $100,000 on a diamond-encrusted necklace that says Woody?
Oh, the diamond necklace. No question. The diamond necklace.
And you can honestly say this. It's a better investment.
It is a better investment. At least I'm going to get more utility out of that one. I don't even know if any acts are going to show up to Fyre Festival 2.
Oh, my God.
Can we just hear the George Bush again?
We absolutely can. Why not?
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. It fooled me. We can't get fooled again.
But I love the part where he's like, there's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas.
Yeah,
why not just say
great.
There's an old saying in Texas?
Why not just say there's an old saying?
Oh, yeah,
like I don't get it. Just like I don't get Fyre Festival too. It's ridiculous.
Oh my
what are
God.
People doing?
If you are taking your money and throwing it at Billy McFarland, I have got to start working on some ways to defraud the public.
Wow.
Because if you're willing to do it again.
I mean, that's like betting on the Cardinals to win the Super Bowl this year.
Like, I would argue no that's chance. A better that's a
you got
better investment.
You got better odds
I would
the Cardinals winning the chip.
I would bet on the Texans. I would bet on the Cardinals. I would bet on the Texans and the Cardinals to square off in the Super Bowl.
I mean, we know the Super Bowl is going to happen. So, yeah. I mean, that's the difference there. At least we know the Super Bowl is going to happen.
Well, speaking of betting and the Super Bowl, it's Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio and on Sirius XM Channel 80 in for Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance. We have, from our friends at Caesars Sportsbook, Canty, some prop bets for the season. I love this. Bubba has dug them out. Bubba will present them. I would love to know what the parlay bet would be for both the Cardinals and Texans to make it to the Super Bowl, and I would still absolutely bet that first. Bubba, what do we got?
All right, we're going to start. We got a couple of pass yards over under. Let's do Dak Prescott first. We've been talking about him a lot in today's show. So 3,999 and a half yards over under for Dak.
Canty?
I'm going under. I mean, Mike McCarthy said he wants to run the football more. I'm not sure they got to throw it all over the lot to win because of how good their defense is. This is just score, put up 21, 24 points. Let your defense bring it home. I'm going to say Dak Prescott under 3,900 yards passing.
I totally agree. I'm on board with that. I think that that's going to be around 3,400, 3,500 yards passing this season because they will run the ball more. Next.
All right, and Dak used to have Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore is now in Los Angeles, and Justin Herbert will be the next person. He's over-under for him is 44.50 and a half.
Ooh.
Over.
That's a big number.
Over. Give me the over. I think this is another 5,000-yard passing season for Justin Herbert. And it's crazy to say that because the guy's only been in the league 3 years, and he's already got a 5,000-yard passing season. With Kellen Moore, they're going to put up some points. And have you seen Quentin Johnston out there, their first-round pick?
He looks great.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, give me that over on that 4,400 yards passing.
Yeah, I'm on board. Give me the over. Canty just laid it out for you. Next.
All right, let's do pass touchdowns over under, and we'll do a start in Chicago. Justin Fields, 18.5. 18.5 over
you know what?
Under.
Give me the over. I'll take the over on 18.5. I'm on board with that one.
Yeah, I mean, DJ Moore is going to have 18 receiving touchdowns.
I mean, it's a big number, but I absolutely like that a lot. Yeah, I'll go over. Yeah. I don't think he's going to throw 30, but I think he's going to throw 25. I think he's going to throw 25.
I think Justin Fields could put up a monster season, an MVP caliber season from production. From a production standpoint. So I'm going to go over.
All right, what about Aaron Rodgers? 27.5 touchdowns for him, over under.
I'll take the under.
Yeah, doesn't it feel like an under? It feels like an under.
Chris, you know where I am? I am in that zone right now of it all, of the hype is too much. We have reached that point. It's going to fall apart.
But here's the thing. I think they can have a fine season and Aaron Rodgers be under 27 passing touchdowns. I mean, think about it. The Minnesota Vikings last year won 13 games, and Kirk Cousins had 29 passing touchdowns. So it's not crazy to think that Rodgers, with a much better defense than what the Vikings had last year, could have 27 passing touchdowns and this team still be a double-digit win squad. So, yeah, give me the under.
Under. Next.
Let's go to receiving yards. Tyreek Hill, I know he says he wants 2,000, but they got him. We got one man here. They got him at 1,275.5.
I would go over, but I might wait a few more days before that Jonathan Taylor situation is resolved.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
I'm with you on that one, but I mean, looking at what Tyreek Hill does, though, man. I mean, the guy is north of 1,200 yards receiving. You know, 4 of the last 5 years he's been in the NFL, and that includes a 1,500-yard receiving season in a 1,700-yard receiving season. So give me the over on that one.
Squeeze me one more here,
yeah,
Bubba.
One real quick. Mike Evans, he's got 1,000 yards every year of his career, but this year they got him at 875.5. Will he get it?
Pound the under.
Nah, he'll get it. He'll get it. Because Tampa's going to be behind in every single game. And who are they going to look to throw the ball to? Number 13. So, yeah, give me the over on that one.
Won't get fooled again.
I don't know if I can do that quite yet. Tomorrow, another one.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcast.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.